Sawadee Cup, guys. So welcome to another episode of Fury and Ice Podcast. So I do apologize. It's been a little bit since I've done my last one here and everything. So I'm going to really be more consistent with putting out a podcast. So every Monday, I am going to release a new one. And so after that, I might do another one during the week or something like that if something hits, but yeah, I figure every Monday. So anyways, today, really, I just kind of wanted to touch upon, kind of what I've been doing, what I do, and stuff like that with, the House of Attilius. And, House of Attilius started out, back in, so about 5, 6 years ago, the concept came for House of Attilius. And, it was registered as an LLC. I came up with the name and all that other fun stuff. And really, it was based around fitness primarily, but it was based on the concept of you didn't need a location in order to have the business thrive, or at least, it wasn't what it was based around, and everything. But I didn't have it's evolved, since then, and it's just been my experiences and everything else have kind of shaped, changed it, people I've interacted with, and so forth. So it's really, fitness is still the core of, what I do. I just don't promote it as much, as far as, working with people from a personal training standpoint, with weights and all that, but it's still there in the background. But right now everything has really been focused on, helping people improve the way they breathe, improve the way they move, and just meditation, and everything. So using Qigong, Muay Thai, not from a martial, art school standpoint where you're kicking, sparring, all this good stuff, but just from just a standard movement and technique thing, you incorporate that with the Qigong, kind of makes a very different, unique type of program. And then you include your breath work in there and so forth, along with some still meditation. And it just, it becomes a very unique program, but also a program that is very unknown to people. And what I mean by that is that Qigong, I mean, it has been around for thousands of years, but it's, compared to its close cousin of Tai Chi, and there's differences there, but Tai Chi is, somewhat, when you mention Tai Chi, people are familiar with the name just because it's been in pop culture, a little bit more. And then yoga, which, again, yoga has been around for quite some time too. And as yoga is like McDonald's, there's one on every corner, yoga studio on every corner. So, even though there's different factions of yoga, if you will, just the name, people are like, if you're a yoga instructor, was, oh, okay, people are familiar with yoga, even though your style might be a little bit different from what they've seen or have experienced, they're still aware of yoga. So Qigong is just, the one, again, it just really hasn't been at the forefront of pop culture for a while, but there's a huge benefit for it, and again, I think sometimes, some of what gets put out there for Qigong is kind of the whole, so like if you watch any kind of like Kung Fu movies or anything like that of the like, there's a lot of mysticism, that's involved there. And I think some of that mysticism kind of, you see it like with Qigong, it could be the image that somebody portrays when they're teaching. It could be, how, what enhancements, power enhancements you'll get when you practice this and everything, So I think, at that point, some of that stuff gets to be a little bit too over the top for people, a little unbelievable, a little bit too woo-woo, if you will. So really everything that I do and use, I try to ground it as much as possible. From a visual standpoint, we focus on upper, lower, middle, dantians, moving energy between them and all this other good stuff. And it's a visual, a very, so visually, if you can, with any program, you should have a very strong visual component as well. You want to work the mind in that manner. And everything. So, like when you're moving energy and visualizing your breath and stuff, again, doesn't mean that you're going to be Superman or Superwoman or anything like that. but it's going to help you mentally, physically, you know, and spiritually. It's just going to take you and form you into a whole different, you know, a whole different world, I guess, if you will, a lack of a better word, we have done my head right now. And, you know, but the whole thing is like with Qigong, it takes some time to learn. You know, it's not inherently difficult. So Tai Chi is probably a little bit more difficult. It takes more time to learn just because there, you know, usually it's a series of exercises that are choreographed and structured together. So that takes some time to learn. Qigong is largely individual exercises, you know, that you learn. You know, they're not really fully connected together per se. I mean, you can string them together, but they're, you know, most likely weren't designed that way. But the whole thing is like you have to believe in what you're doing is beneficial. You have to believe that it is going to work for you. You have to, you know, really accept it for your own life. And, you know, so a little fun story, when I was learning Qigong, when I first learned Qigong, I was frustrated with it in the beginning. You know, I had learned a dynamic form. It was the five animals. And, you know, there's a lot of different five animals out there, but this particular one is very dynamic. And it looked easy, you know, but I just had a hard time. I was struggling on, you know, it's like I couldn't get it. And, you know, somebody, you know, had told me that, look, you know, the reason why you're not getting it is because you're not buying into it for yourself, for your life. You're not doing it because it's a benefit to you. You're doing it because you feel the need to do it. And that's why it's not taking with you. You know, you're just kind of kicking the can. So after that, I flipped, my mindset kind of flipped. And when my mindset flipped, and then I went back to do the same, like say movements that were frustrating me that I couldn't get, it became 100 times easier and it just flowed, you know, and everything. So it's just bringing yourself to that spot and just relaxing and just embracing it and allowing things to unfold. No different than when I learned Muay Thai. When I learned Muay Thai, I came straight out of a gym, lifting weights for a lot of years and stuff. I was like Frankenstein walking around. I didn't really do much, you know, huge amounts of, you know, flexibility and training and so forth. And Muay Thai was very humbling because just my body would not move in the ways that it needed to right away. So, you know, there's a lot of sprained ankles, a lot of, you know, sore hips and God knows what else, you know, just fighting with or struggling with my body to adjust. And it took about 6 months of, you know, 5-6 day, you know, or, you know, 2 hours a day, you know, practice to allow my body to really kind of adapt and move in a way that it wasn't used to. Now, Qigong didn't take me 6 months to do that, you know, but again, it was consistent practice every day, you know. And that's the thing I think where people fall, you know, apart is that they want, how do I put this? In this life, we want the fast food experience. And what I mean by that is, you know, we want to master something now. We want to, it better benefit us now because I don't have the time to do something, you know, for several months. And that's just kind of a poor way to look at things. You know, it takes time. Anything that's beneficial for your life is going to take time. And I think, you know, I partly blame the fitness industry over the years, you know, for that mentality of, you know, fast, quick, and easy. Because we had all these 4 week, 6 week programs that were, you know, get your beach body in 3 weeks, get your beach body or a beach booty in 4 weeks and stuff, you know, I'm not going to say they, you know, all didn't work, but you're setting the bar low with people, you know, it's like, oh, it just, there's no dedication in 4 weeks. If you're trying to get somebody interested into a program, you know, and it's just getting their feet wet to see if they like it over a 4 or 6 week period, then as long as you are upfront with people that that's what that's designed to do and nothing more, then fine, you know. But, you know, the promise changes and this and that, I mean, it's just not going to happen in that time frame. Martial arts, external and internal, which is, like Qigong, it's all long term. It is literally all long term. You can learn some of the basic movements in a month, or less, but you're never going to perfect them in a month or less. It just takes time. But again, you have to love what you are working towards to do. If you don't love it and you're just doing it because, well, okay, I was told it's like beneficial for me. Well, you know what? Don't do it then. Because you're just, again, you've already accepted defeat, with that kind of mindset. So, for me to bring really the Qigong and mix in the Muay Thai to a degree and breathing and meditation, it creates a very unique program for me underneath the House of Attilius umbrella here. And, I love it. And I find a huge benefit for it. And again, it's a little bit of an uphill battle, with people, because it's, Qigong, Muay Thai is not, at the forefront of understanding, visually for people. And so that's why I say it's just people have to kind of like experience it firsthand to really kind of grasp and understand it. And at that point, you're either going to be like, oh yeah, I want to explore this further, I can feel a difference, or it's just, for whatever reason, it's just not for you. And that's the whole thing too, is just that you need to find what you're going to gravitate towards, what's going to work for you. Don't force a square peg into a round hole, because that's not going to work for you, and it's not going to do anything to further you. So really, make the time. That's another thing too. You need to make the time to, experience it and then practice it in your daily life. So, like as an example, I might run, workshop sessions to teach people how to do this stuff themselves once or twice a week, But outside of that, if you're not going to keep up with it, if you do come back to me the next week, or maybe it's every 2 weeks or whatever, you're going to be right back to square one again. We're not going to get off. Your foundation is just, you're going to keep laying foundation after foundation after foundation, So you have to keep practicing outside of it. It's like having homework. You got to do it. Otherwise, it's just, why didn't you do your homework? Got distracted. I didn't have enough time. So time is the other thing that, people say a lot. And everybody has time and throughout the day. So anybody, I don't know, it's like, well, I'm a single parent or whatever, or, even if you're not, you have kids, they have activities to do, this and that and so forth. I have my regular routine that I do over here at, local fitness center, all this stuff. And what I find is that when people start coming up and telling me, it's like, I don't have time, I don't have time, I get this, oh, I got that, I just, it's roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, especially when, I work with you, and it's just like, it doesn't get off the ground. It's just like, did you do this? Did you follow? Oh, no, I just got to be. Look, everything that I teach you or show you, or guide you into, you are able to do this on your own as well, or keep up with it outside of me. You just have to look at your schedule and carve out time for it, plain as day. I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than that. So, Qigong, largely, I mean, realistically, if you do 5 minutes a day, if you tell me you don't have time, so you don't have 5 minutes a day that you can do something that doesn't require any equipment, you don't need to travel anywhere, you can do it in your own home. If that's what you're telling me, then we got some problems. We got to look at your schedule a little bit deeper, Now, some, people who have trained, some monks or Buddhists that have trained with Qigong or utilized Qigong for just long periods of time, will recommend, oh, to achieve this or to do this, you kind of have to do it, upwards of 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day, when you think about it, is a lot, time out of your day. Westerners, our days are structured much differently than, people that live in Asia, even Europe to a certain degree. But if I tell you 3 hours a day, if I tell you even just let's just make it a little bit simpler. You know, if I say, you know what, you need to do an hour of Qigong per day, you might still push back and be like, I don't have an hour a day. Okay, why don't you have an hour? And it's like, well, I got this, this, and this, and everything else. Okay, so when I told you an hour, your mind blocked out like a straight hour. That's what your mind's going to do right away. Now, I told you you need to do Qigong for an hour a day. I didn't say how you had to break it down. That's the key. If you can do an hour straight a day, be my guest. But if I tell you to practice an hour a day, well, you have time to do an hour a day. It's how you break that hour down. You can break it down, you know, two 30-minute sessions. You can break it down even more than that. You can go into three sessions. You can go into four sessions. You have to make whatever time, you know, look at your schedule and fit it in where you can, but be consistent with it when you do. And that's the whole thing with this, is that you have to practice on a regular basis. If you do not practice on a regular, now I'm not saying that if you take like a day off or something like that, it's going to implode everything. It's not. But consistency will get you to where you want to be. You know, just don't overthink it and fit it in. My whole program, you know, the Fury and Ice, and the Fury and Ice, just FYI, is, you know, the Fury part is the Muay Thai, you know, or an external, you know, martial art component. Ice is the internal, you know, Qigong. But everything with my program is not going to take away from your work that you have to do, from spending time with your kids, if you have kids, pets, you know, your extra activities, you know, if you have a weight routine, CrossFit routine, other martial art thing that you do or whatever. My program is not designed to pull you away, like you have to do this or this. You got to make a choice. No, it's a complement to what you do. Excuse me. You know, and that's the way it's always been. You know, if my program is what you want to do for your main bread and butter, hey, you know, I'm all for that. You know, if it's something you just want to use as to help shore up, you know, some holes in your breathing and, you know, your focus and stuff like that, I'm all for that too. Okay. But people are kind of like, they have in their lives a lot of times what they enjoy. And it would be a disservice to me to come up to you and tell you that, well, no, you need to focus on this more. You got to abandon all this. You know, I'm not a monastery. I'm not a Shaolin monastery. I'm not, you know, we're not training Muay Thai in Thailand where it's like you just convert your entire life over for these, you know, things. You know, would you learn it a lot quicker? Yes. But realistically, that's not going to happen. And that's not my goal. You know, I still want you to enjoy life. I don't want you to neglect your families or anything that you have going on, you know, but I want to be there. I want to be able to help further you, you know, and help your awareness, help your consciousness, you know, become stronger and grow. And, you know, maybe have a little part of you that kind of like gets enlightened at some point, you know. But so, yeah, it's again, you know, people are their own worst enemies when it comes to time. And I get that. You know, because I used to be there myself a long time ago and stuff. And again, you know, I'm human. I still have my ups and downs with it, but I still make time, you know, for my Qigong. You know, I still make time for Muay Thai. You know, and they're combined together, so it kind of makes it a little bit easier. Or breath work, still meditation, so forth. You know, it's a value to me. And I know how I feel when I stay consistent with it. Excuse me again. And I know how I feel when I'm not consistent with it, you know, and everything. So it's just, yes, find time. Everybody has it. We all have it. You know, again, it's just we're looking at your schedule and seeing where things are, you know, where you can fit things in that makes the most sense. And that's part of what I'm here for. You know, and then, you know, I really love that people are starting to get out in nature again more. And I think with the shutdowns and stuff that we've had here, at the beginning of the year and everything, I've kind of lent to people getting outdoors in nature a little bit more. And that's a very, very beautiful thing. Excuse me again, dry throat. but, so if you followed me for quite some time or whatever, and you've noticed that I've started running workshops up in Sedona, and I love Sedona. Sedona is just one of those places that's just very unique. The energy there is very beautiful, and the scenery, yes, is just amazing. And it's just for me, it's like a motherly energy, so I feel very relaxed, very at home there. It opens me up more. Not that I need to be any emotional than I get sometimes, but it does help with that. But the other thing is, it's just like it pulls me away from my home base, which is really, a benefit sometimes to kind of just like let go of the tethers and just go up there and just enjoy. And I find that with people, to bring people up there and stuff, it's a whole different environment to, guide people, through the Qigong and everything, and then breath work and meditation. So that's, in part why too, kind of, planning on relocating that way, because for one, for me, it's a benefit just because of the energy and so forth. But for the other, from a business standpoint, it really works to create an environment there to pull people away from their daily lives, and bring them to a place to where they might relax, learn to relax a little bit more, where they're not worried or focused on a ton of different things that they would be, say, at their home base. And it's going to allow them to open up more and so forth, and maybe learn, retain a little bit more. And so when they go back to their home base, they're going to be more relaxed, more apt to be able to adjust and so forth. But that's not saying that, it can't be done around their home base. It's just sometimes it's a little bit tougher because, being down, in Phoenix and running things down here, I find that sometimes people will not let go of their day-to-day lives. They go to an event, or I don't care if it's a yoga session or whatever it is, or mine, they're still tethered to what they need to do. there's no release, there's no relaxation. And you can train yourself in a busy environment, to get to that point. But sometimes it's a little bit tougher in the beginning. Because you're fighting through all this stuff on top of trying to get your mind and body to kind of sync up, and your breathing and all this good stuff. But so I find just kind of like a little mini getaway for people, to someplace they don't live in. That's just beautiful, and it's got energy, and everything is just kind of wonderful. But with that said, no matter where you live in this world, I would say, find your own Sedona, really. Not telling you not to go out to Sedona, or anything, but wherever you live, there's always some place that, quote unquote, can be like your Sedona. And that's a place where you just feel at home, where you feel comfortable, where you feel that you can just kind of let go of those tethers of your day-to-day life. And just for that period of time that you allow yourself, you can just focus on you and relax and just get your mind working in a different way. I mean, that could be very much a field, a farm field in the middle of nowhere with, a barn in the background or something. Maybe that is just what kind of resonates with you where you're at. And that's great. That works, so you create your environment, get out in nature if you can a little bit more. Even inside, it's, I'm not knocking, doing any of this stuff inside and everything like that. I would just say that it's hard to match what nature can offer you versus inside, a building or a room, if you will. Now you can create a space in your room, and everything that will, that can help and stuff, but still being out in nature and everything is a whole different game. But, But yeah, with like Sedona and everything, I see it as a very beneficial way to bring people in, to an area that just visually will, grabs you, and just allows you to have a different experience and just allows you to release the tethers for however long you're there, and open you up to learning and retaining a different way to experience life and everything and stuff like that. So really, again, just back to everything that I do within my program is stuff that you can do on your own, once you, with everything you're going to have to really kind of, whether it's through a Zoom meeting online or in person, I mean, you're going to have to just, you're going to have to meet me and we'll have to work, in that kind of environment to begin with, so you kind of understand it and you get the basics down and then you can kind of go and practice them on your own. Because otherwise, if I just give you like a program on a piece of paper and you've never worked with me or talked with me before, it's probably not going to stick. You're going to have more questions than that, so. Where there's a will, there's a way with everything and stuff. Even the same thing with my still meditation. I work with a few people right now where they come to me, usually every other week. And, I run them through a 60-minute meditation. I guide them through it. But again, if somebody can't come to me for the meditation, they want to experience it, through a Zoom meeting, we can do that as well. The whole point is just to get you. Get everybody to where they, feedback, like where you see yourself and where I see that you should go to be able to achieve that, and again, using movement through a breathing and meditation process is, a wonderful thing. A lot of people, because really, a lot of people find still meditation kind of difficult. And the reason being is because the mind is bouncing all over the place. It's not used to, if you rarely meditate, or you haven't, the first 5 minutes are probably going to be the roughest, in your life because, you're just not going to want to sit still. Your mind's going to be bouncing from, it's going to be the monkey mind all over the place. And then you're going to get frustrated and you're probably not going to want to keep up on it because, okay, I can't do this anymore. Moving meditation tends to be easier because now if you're staying active, but there is a trick to that too, because now you're requiring your body and mind to move in sync. And a lot of times that's going to be hard in the beginning. And then when you throw in the proper way to breathe through the movement on top of that, then it becomes a whole nother, you're thinking, the problem is like in the beginning here, you're going to be thinking about all three aspects. Am I doing this right? Am I doing it? Da, da, da. And that's just going to throw you off. So you need to get yourself to the point to where you learn, each individual aspect and then you can put them together so everything kind of flows in sync, and without thinking about it. It's no different than when I learned Muay Thai. When you're thinking about, you're shown how to do a kick or a strike or whatever, and you're when you begin, you're thinking about it, and when you think about it, you're not letting it just flow. You're not letting your body adjust as it wants to. You're kind of like controlling it, and it just comes off bad. It doesn't come off right, and everything else. It's not until you learn to relax. And all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, that kick now just effortlessly starts to come up. That strike effortlessly just boom, comes out. So that's the whole key is just to learn to relax and allow your body to adapt in the way it's going to. It is probably not going to be 100% perfect right out of the gate. And, that's fine because there is a learning experience there. It's going to take time. Now they say, as far as time goes, they say it takes like what, 21 days to form a habit, and that's a habit. But if you do some research on that, that's kind of misinformed a little bit and stuff. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but it was referencing kind of something else. The ideal that I see is that really 90 to 100 days. Now, I'm not saying form a habit 90, but to really see a cemented habit and then see a really powerful change within yourself 90 to 100 days if you're consistent with everything, you know. And that's the whole thing is like, look, I mean, there is some mysticism with a lot of martial arts. And I think, you know, that kind of gets blown up a little bit with pop culture, and it's kind of a lord's, and some of it's interesting, you know, but really, honestly, it's, there's nothing really over the top with anything, you know, that I do. And even with martial arts, the basics will change your life considerably. You know, I mean, you look at some of the amazing feats that some martial artists can do and stuff like that, and that's years and years and years of practice. That's like, you know, dedicating yourself. Like, I just watched a documentary online last night about the Shaolin Temple in China. And this was, done from a perspective of somebody who trained in the temple for 3 years. And it wasn't like a Western documentary, which is kind of like, he kind of debunked that, because a Western documentary, they film in areas where they don't train and everything else. And a lot of the stuff that they do is just, it shows a different side of it. And again, it's the temple is, I want to say this without being disrespectful, but the temple is kind of like, it's a business, you know, a lot and stuff. So they have a certain image that they want to portray and everything. But, you know, so what he brought forth was, you know, the reality versus what you would see in a typical documentary and stuff like that. But again, everything that he did was grounded in reality. But when you see them doing amazing feats and stuff like that, that is all legit. But, you know, what people don't realize is they're training 7 hours a day, you know, 5-6 days a week doing this stuff. They're breaking their bodies down. They're getting injured and sick and everything else, you know? So it's realistic if you put yourself through that and you're learning in that kind of environment. Could you learn to do that outside of that environment with a limited, like, Western style schedule where it's not that much? Possibly, you know, I would put the amount very slim on that, because you might not have a long enough lifespan to really accomplish all that. So, but again, you know, that's like, you know, you're look, with any of this stuff, you're not going to walk on water. You're not going to levitate. You're not going to, you know, have superhuman feats of strength, if you will, or whatever, you know. It's just meditation, breathing, movement is all part of what is going to make you a healthier individual mentally and physically and spiritually. If you really can perfect, you know, those areas and consistently keep at improving them, you know, or working on them and stuff, you are going to notice a hugely powerful change within you. You're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start reacting to things differently. You're really just, I mean, life is going to turn on its ear. And all this stuff, when you hone these skills in, when you learn to control your mind and everything else, it's going to, in turn, pay you back by, you know, improving your work environment that you're in, improving your relationships with family and friends and loved ones, you know, everything. How you move forward in life, what you want to achieve, you're just going to hold yourself differently. You're going to see things differently. You're going to sense things differently. It's just, you're going to find yourself a very powerful individual in life, but powerful from a grounded standpoint where you're just, honestly, you're just grounded as in reality, where you are walking through this reality, you're going to be able to achieve great things, you know, and achieving great things here. When I use that, or when I say that, you know, it has a different meaning for everybody. You know, somebody who wants to just be, say, just a better parent, let's just say, or, you know, just whatever it is. I mean, whatever for yourself, whatever you think, whatever you believe that is going to be great in your life, or that you want to achieve that is great. That's kind of what's, you know, all this stuff is going to help you get to that point. You know, so yeah, I mean, everything that I do is just strip away the mysticism, strip away all the fancy stuff and everything else. And, you know, my focus is just, you know, on your mind, really, you know, using movement, breath, and meditation to get there and everything. So, you know, I love working with people, you know, I always do. And, you know, when I can help people, I'm just like, I'm like the happiest, you know. But what makes me sad and stuff is like when I start working with people and then, you know, they don't follow up outside of me and things start to drop off, that, you know, doesn't make me mad. It just upsets me because there's so much potential that people have, yet they let their day-to-day lives, I'm too busy and everything else, affect that. So unless they're with me, you know, and I'm holding their hand through the process and guiding them, outside of that, it's like it's a struggle. And it doesn't need to be like that. You know, it's either you find value in something for your life or you don't. And, you know, if what I teach is not what you find that works for you, then that's great. Let me know, you know, because again, everybody is going to find something different that is going to be a benefit to them. And that's what you have to do, you know, because if you put a round peg or try to put a round peg in a square hole, you know, it's just, it's not going to work, you know, and you're just going to like, okay, I've been doing this for X amount. It's just doesn't, I'm not getting anything out of it. You know, you have to fall in love with something, you know, you have to really commit to it. And again, you know, finding time is not the problem. For, you know, what I do. And, you know, this is, again, I'll say it 1,000 times over, this is all stuff that you can do on your own. You know, you just may end up having to learn it, you know, for a bit with me in the beginning. And again, you know, that's either in person or through, you know, a Zoom session or whatnot. But yeah, it's just create a pattern with it, practice it on a regular basis. And everything, and then, you know, watch all the changes unfold. But again, invest in yourself in this, like, you know, especially now with everything going on, you know, huge upheaval this year with everything across the board. You know, we're all stressed, we're tired mentally and physically, you know, even if we don't realize it, we are. You know, I know a lot of people are looking to 2021 as like, oh my God, you know, everything's gonna be better next year. you might have some things that are a little bit better, but honestly, we've done enough damage this year to where things are not going to be repaired for probably another 3 to 5 years. You know, I will, you know, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. You know, the only way, you know, and to really go back and, you know, to where we were late last year, beginning of this year before everything kind of went to hell, that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, it's easier, you know, on us to go back to where we came from because we're used to it. We're adapted to it. It's just like, okay, it's the norm. You know, we can just put it on cruise control and away we go. We're beyond that. And you don't want to go backwards. You know, I'm not saying that everything needs to change across the board, but, you know, really with this change in the period and how things are adjusting, let's work on ourselves because we can control that. We can control the outcome of that. You know, what politicians do, what other people outside of us do, we can't control that, you know, but we can control what happens with ourselves. So why not take this time, you know, to take 90 to 100 days and start working, you know, on meditating, on breathing better, you know, working on our movement. You know, so when we go in to the new year, you know, we're already bettering ourselves, which is in turn going to better our life and things that surround us. And we're going to be able to conquer and adapt, you know, to, you know, how things that life throws at us, you know, and everything. So if another shutdown looms or comes, you know, wherever we're at, hopefully that doesn't happen. But if that happens, you know, people aren't going to lose their, you know, their minds by being isolated. and everything. You're going to be able to, like, okay, it's a shutdown. I'm going to have a rational mindset. I know how to work through this and blah, blah, blah. That's where you want to be. You want to be in control of you. You don't want to dictate, have things outside of you, the news and everything else. You don't want that stuff to kind of like get its hooks into you and change your mindset and change the way you think and how you live your life and everything like that. I'm not saying ignore everything that the news does, because there's still a lot of beneficial information that comes out of there, but there's a lot of crap that just is designed as like fear, because there's no ratings in happiness. Let's just put it that way. There's ratings in fear. We don't want that, but that all starts with you. And, us getting you to a point to where, again, you're in control of your mind. And then once you're in control of your mind, everything else just boom. You create your own world apart from that, what you let in and how things affect you and so forth. But again, consistency, you have to want it. You really have to start working at it. And like I said, everything here is not disruptive to your life. So if you have, kids, school, whatever, you have your workout routine at a fitness center and this and that, that's great. I'm not introducing anything to you to, make you choose what you have to do. You can do everything right now that you want to do or that you have going on in your life on top of my program. The reason being is because, again, it doesn't take away from anything that you're doing. It complements your life. It complements everything else that you have going on. And it doesn't take up that much time. If you sit and talk to me and tell me what your schedule is and stuff, I'll tell you exactly how much time, you should spend and where you need to spend it, to get where you want to be and stuff, depending on what your, goal is with this and stuff. But yeah, again, you got to take that first step. If you take that first step, yes, I will grab your hand and I will help guide you, but you got to do some work on your own too, because if I'm not going to be there and you're just going to let go of the weight and just be like, okay, you're going to stay parked until the next time, we work together, you're not going to get any further. So if there is one thing that frustrates me a little bit with people and stuff, it's just that, it just falls apart. Consistency and believing in what you're doing is going to help, So but yeah, so the fascinating thing about all this and this whole world is that too is I've met a lot of very interesting people through it, and this is probably everybody mostly that I've met I probably would have not met if I didn't go on this journey, and you don't know how things kind of would have turned out. I kind of know, but nonetheless, I'm thankful for the people that I've met along this. And when you guys open yourselves up as well, you're going to find that you're going to attract like kind of almost a whole new tribe, so to speak. It's very interesting. So when I run across people, when I'm out and about, certain people resonate with me on a deeper level than others. Doesn't mean that just one's better than the other. It's just, there's usually something about somebody that just kind of sticks out, and I pick up on that. And it's a lot of times it's, I probably haven't even said five words to a person, but it's just their presence has really just kind of like impacted me and, kind of like drawn, my attention to them. And, some people, might think, oh, it's physically, you're, no, it's not a physical attraction. It goes deeper than that. I mean, we are physical beings. We are physical people. So, from a visual standpoint, when you see somebody, always that is kind of what historically has kind of, drawn you in. But to go beyond that, for substance, it becomes the personality, the person's energy, and so forth. So you can be the most attractive person in the world, but if your personality, my personality, butt heads. I'm not saying for some, but I mean, if it's just the energy isn't there, if I don't resonate with you, okay, you're attractive, but that's about it. You know what I mean? So for me, it's there's just a lot of times there's just something there and I can't really quite put my finger on it until I start maybe talking to somebody a little bit more and getting to know more about them. Then I can kind of understand why that is. But again, the people that kind of like really jump in on my journey that kind of grab my attention in that way, it's always very interesting because I enjoy talking to them and learning more about who they are, what makes them tick, and all this fun stuff. Because sometimes there's a purpose for it, sometimes there's not. You know, what I mean by that is, it could just be where you guys become great friends and you learn a lot from each other as you move forward. You know, it's just that great compliment. Sometimes it's just where you're like kind of like just passing each other. There's a road stop on your journey, highway journey, and you exchange information and everything else. It's just a brief experience, and it's like, but there's something there to be gained, and then you're on your way. And then, other times it's just kind of like it's just it's in and it's out. You're fizzled and whatever, But most of the times it's usually like the first two that I've experienced and stuff. But yeah, I mean, just and that's the thing too. It's like this year is like socially distancing, all this other stuff, limiting crowd size. It puts us in a position to where, we don't socialize as much, or we weren't. I think we're starting to get back to that point in some places. But being able to socialize with people does amazing things for your health, does amazing things for your brain, and so forth. To restrict that, and I get it from a health standpoint, but to really restrict that to a severe degree is crippling people, And I think you can still be social and yet still be courteous and safe around others. We have to respect each other, and I think a lot of us do, but some of us don't. We're kind of selfish in a way that says, well, I don't want to do this because this is impacts me negatively and da da da. But we're thinking about ourselves in that manner. We're not thinking about everybody else we interact with. So in a sense, that is being selfish. We don't want to do that. But again, creating an environment, within this current environment to where you can still socialize and still interact and still have those healthy relationships with people is critical. Otherwise, I think, again, you just risk crippling a society even more, and stuff. And it's bad enough sometimes with technology that it becomes like the go-to that people, hide behind a screen and create false personas and want to be friends with people outside. It's just it's technology is just really it has its benefits, it has its uses. I mean, there's been a lot of amazing people I've met where if it was not for social media and everything else, I wouldn't have met them. Honestly. But, to live on it is just, you have to find that balance there. And still, what it's like to interact. I mean, I'm 47. So I grew up in a time to where, pre-cell phones for the most part. I don't think cell phones came in, or I didn't get my first one until I think I was like early to mid 20s, somewhere in there. But prior to that, it's like, yeah, you didn't have cell phones. You had the brick phone, but I mean, nobody could afford it outside. People had money. You had you had your telephone, you had your caller ID. And if you were out at the bar wanting to find out where your friends were, you had a pay phone and a quarter. It might have been cheaper at that, at that time, but. And if they didn't answer, you figured they were on their way. I mean, that's pretty much what you had. But when you broke up with somebody, you did it face to face. When you talked to somebody, you did it face to face. When you fought with somebody, you did it face to face. You had that interaction, no matter how unpleasant or positive it was. You had that interaction. And now with technology, it's kind of like, no, you break up via text, you fight via social media, everything else. Really nobody respects anybody else's opinions or stance on things, as you've kind of seen this year too, which is sad because again, we all are going to have our own opinions and that's a part of being human. Doesn't mean we're always right. Doesn't mean the other person's always right, whatever. It's, but respect the opinion, you know, and that's what it is, really. But all this stuff that we have in today's society, you know, impacts us mentally in some way, shape, or form. And we don't deal with it very well when we try to manage, you know, turn off social media. And I'm not knocking it, take a social media break. I see a lot of people doing that. You know, they'll shut it off for a week or whatever, and then they'll come back onto it. Some people, you know, take a break from the news. They won't watch any news and da da da. Here's the thing. As healthy as that is, to be able to do that, again, not knocking it, you know, it would be much better, in my opinion, if you learn how to control and manage that while it's still going without shutting it off. You know, because again, social media is not going anywhere anytime soon that I can see. You know, the news is the news. You're going to have, you know, your happy puppy stories every once in a while, but most of it's going to be doom and gloom, because that's what gets ratings. You know, happiness does not bring in ratings. Doom and gloom does, unfortunately, in this day and age. So how do we get ourselves to function in the society the way it's set up without restricting things? To me, we can come across a little bit stronger if we learn how to manage these things. And learning how to manage them is controlling our mind, controlling our brain. And once we control that aspect of it, then everything else that surrounds us will have a better chance at controlling that as well, too, rather than going to the extremes. You know, if you have somebody in your life that is just, you know, you don't get along with it, your button heads, or whatever the deal happens to be, it's easy to shut them out of your life completely, you know. But the really, the strong, you know, the challenge of that is, you know, the opposite is like keeping them in your life, but knowing how to manage them, how to not let them get to you, you know, because a lot of people are going to want to bring you down to their level. You know, and it's easy, and I've done this too before, you know, it's easy to stiff arm people and keep them at a distance and stuff. And you do. I mean, you know, I mean, that's going to be part of it. But at the same time, when they come back at you, they may come back at you tenfold because they're not responding. And they're going to just try to get to you to knock you off that pedestal. Well, if you're mentally stronger and you view things differently and you've worked on your breathing and kind of got yourself more centered and, you know, everything else, that person is not going to be able to move you at all. And then you don't have to block them on social media and everything else, you know. You may still want to, you know, because I mean, yeah, at a certain point, some people may just get that bad where you're just like, okay, you know. But again, I, you know, learning how to adapt to these like extreme situations or, you know, whatever that affect your life, you know, so much, it all comes down to, again, you know, finding something that trains you, you know, to, you know, strengthen yourself in those areas and yeah, everything. So, you know, for me, you know, for with what I love working with people with, it's, you know, meshing up the Qigong with the Muay Thai and the movement side, you know, breathing work through still and movement meditation and, you know, and seated meditation as well, you know, and everything. So, you know, you combine all those things together. It will help, you know. You may find a benefit in yoga, you know, and stuff. But again, you have to embrace whatever it is that you want to do, but you also have to, again, I'm going to remind you, be consistent with it and allow yourself to open up more to it. You know, don't just sit down and like, okay, let's just say meditation. Don't just go through the motions, you know, for 15 minutes a day with seated meditation. You're going to sit and then, okay, I'm done and on with your thing. It needs to become part of your lifestyle. You know, I'm not saying that you have to walk around in robes or anything like that. And, you know, do anything extreme or, you know, what the I guess Extreme visuals of meditation might be, and say, like, you know, extreme new agey stuff. You don't have to do any of that, but it just needs to be, you need to believe it and you need to do it regularly. You need to, you know, keep improving the process as you go along. And that's tricky, I think, for a lot of people. You know, it's just, you know, you can try guided apps. You know, I've, you know, listened to a few, and very few do I ever connect with, just because they usually talk too much during the meditation, or it's just, there's just too much going on and stuff. Now, everybody's different, but, you know, for me personally, I just sit and, you know, I don't usually have music going on or anything when I meditate. Now, when I work with people on a one-on-one meditation session, sometimes I will have light music on in the background, you know, and stuff during the process as I'm kind of guiding them through it. But I don't talk a lot through the guided meditations that I work with people on. And so I, you know, I guide them enough to where they can form the visual, whatever we're doing. And I leave them kind of like that. I just keep an eye on the time and I kind of progress it as we go along and so forth, you know, but I let them kind of take the reins with it, you know, throughout most of the process and everything. And I find that works out very beneficial and everything. And, you know, speaking on that one-on-one meditation, when I work with people on that and stuff, it's, you know, it's about 45 minutes roughly. And, you know, we go through, kind of a few different postures, you know, seated, laying down. And then, you know, there's a lot of visual work involved with it as well, and stuff like that. So again, it's nothing that is like mysticism 101, where it's like, oh, you know, this is going to create, you know, fire in your hands, whatever, you know. It's just, it's working the mind, working the brain in a different manner. You know, it's visual work is a very powerful component to have of anything, you know, and, you know, again, it's just one more aspect to get you dialed in to yourself. Because when you become a very in controlled individual, you know, through meditation, through your mind and all that good stuff, you know, you become a very focused individual, and a very focused individual can achieve anything that they want, you know? So that's where, you know, honestly, the bulk of the be, that's where you want to go. That's where you would like to get to yourself. You know, it's not about, you know, communicating with the other side or anything like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's just about, you know, making you a more powerful individual in this life and what surrounds you. And as you work your way through this life, being able to give you the tools to handle any situation that comes across your path instead of freaking out, stressing out, and all this stuff, you know. So we have time in this life to work on it. You know, we just have to want to work on it and everything. So with that said, you know, anybody out there would be more than happy to help you out and stuff. And again, you know, I'm here to guide you, but you have to take the reins as well on your end. Because if you don't, it's just, again, you're always going to be at the foundation level. And with House of Attilius, it's structured to where we have the foundation, the walls, and the roof. That's the way it's always structured. You know, the roof is like, boom, you know, we're there. But again, if you're just always going to go back and rebuild the foundation, relay the foundation all the time, you're not going to get anywhere, you know. So again, you know, you just got to talk to me and we got to see where you're at and where we can make time and keep you on task. And that's what it comes down to. So, but anyways, so yeah, this again, you know, I haven't done a podcast in a bit and stuff. Going forward, I am going to, you know, be consistent with them on Mondays. And, it, you know, again, I may do one later in a week or something like that. Just all depends. But yeah, so if you guys tuned into this one today and stuff, I really appreciate it. Thank you. And this is apologies if it's been a little bit of a ramble today and stuff like that. But, you know, sometimes I'm going to have more focused More focused discussions, and other times it's just kind of wherever it's going to be at and stuff. You know, as long as I enjoy the process with it and you guys enjoy it as well, that's all that matters. So anyways, I hope you guys are starting your week off great, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend. And again, if you ever need to talk to me about what I do and how it can help you, feel free to reach out to me through Instagram at house_of_Tilius. And you can DM me there or whatever and stuff. We can talk, or you can go to my website and fill out a question form on the front page. And that's at houseofatilius, ATTILIUS.com. And there's more information there on everything that I do as well and stuff. So anyways, thank you for listening, guys. And I look forward to talking with you next time. Have a great week.